Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Here, been talking about intimacy with the Lord, and last week we talked about resting in the Sabbath, just being in a place of the Sabbath rest continually. And it's a place you never have to get out of. We can walk in that, reside there, abide there. The word, I love that word, abide, in the word. And that's a place that we want to be. It's a place of peace, calm. It's a place of confidence in the Lord. It's a place of trust, and just being able to give yourself completely over to the Lord and trust Him for all things in your life. There's a lot of things that keep us out of that place. The enemy so doesn't want us to be in that place of rest. He doesn't want us to know that place. He does not want us to abide there, because when we do abide there, we truly are walking in unity with the Lord. He'll try and come against that and disrupt that, because he doesn't want you to know who you are, and he doesn't want you to walk in that unity, because then if he can keep you out of unity with God, then that to the world and to even you, that kind of discredits the Lord. The things that you read, the promises you read in the Word about peace and those things, you're always wondering, why am I not in peace? You know, what's wrong with me? I'm praying, you know, and he starts causing doubt and disunity, fear, so that you're walking in a place where you're not fully confident on God for all things. So the enemy wants to do that, but he's a liar and a thief, and we need to recognize those lies and stand in the truth. Even when we don't feel it, we need to stand in it and embrace it, abide in it. And pretty soon, that as you surrender the things that keep you, that hinder, as we surrender those things and really embrace the truth of the Word, you know, that comes from revelation. As you spend time with the Lord, revelation comes into your mind, soul, and spirit. The Lord begins to download to you His truths, and as He begins to speak those into you, it gets into your heart, and it comes from here to here, and there's a connection, and then you get it. And that's what we need. And so that takes buying oil, doesn't it? It takes time spent. So if you look at number one here, we're going to get started on today's subject. You cannot have intimacy with God without embracing the Holy Spirit. He's your ticket, so to speak. He's the one that draws you to Jesus. And Jesus is our pathway to the Father. So they both go through Jesus. He's the one that gives us the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that the Holy Spirit draws us to Christ, and then Jesus is our open door to the Father. So it's a beautiful unity that they are in. Because one glorifies the other and glorifies the other. The three of them seek to be in unity with each other. They are one and of one heart. And we get to flow that heart, that whole heart of God, the whole purpose of the heart of God's, or God's intention for us, is that we would be also one in that ring, in that unity that's flowing there. John 17:20 talks about that. and how the Lord wants to pull us into that oneness, into that complete and total unity with Him. That's a sweet spot, and we want to get there. There is no way to dwell in the Sabbath rest without recognizing the active participation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We must become aware and convinced of His constant presence within us. He is constantly there. If you know Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got the Holy Spirit within you. You received the Holy Spirit. And He is there whether or not you feel like it. Your feelings do not determine truth. The Word determines truth. And the Word says that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get the Holy Spirit. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that is what determines truth. Your feelings will deceive you. On a bad day, you're going to really feel like the Holy Spirit's in China, and you're here, and where's He at, and all those things. And in reality, He's here. He's in you. So that's number one. Stick with what you embrace, truth that you know. The Word is truth, and this is our standard. And anything that comes against truth, even if it's in your own mind, is wrong. It must, what you believe must line up with the Word of truth. So you need to, when you're feeling negative things and feeling like the Holy Spirit's not with you, or God doesn't love you, or no good thing ever happens to you, or those kinds of things, you need to go back to the Word and declare the truth of the Word over your life. Declare it out loud. Speak it. Embrace it. Eat it. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him." Right there. If you've joined yourself to Jesus Christ, you are one spirit with Him. Now, the more revelation you have about that truth right there, the more it will impact your life. The more you will feel it, walk in it, know it. You're going to embrace it, and it will change the way you think, the way you process the spirit realm and yourself. The connection between the spirit realm and this earthly reality, we have trouble navigating between the two. We feel like there's a separation, when in reality, we are meant to walk and bring kingdom to earth. We are meant to bring the kingdom here, and to operate in the both realms at the same time. You shouldn't ever feel like, I mean, you know, we do, but we should be able to walk in that place all the time, because that is our reality as Christians. We have the Holy Spirit in, that's the kingdom. I mean, he brings the kingdom, so it's always there. So we need to be able to learn how to tap into that, but you can't tap into it unless you know it, unless you have the revelation of it in your heart. Is that making sense? You have to... We need to know the Holy Spirit's intentions towards us, how he helps us. We have to be surrendered to Him. We have to be humble before Him. All those things we're going to get into some of that right now. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, well, let me read number 2 there. Says, to walk in a place of intimacy with the Lord, it is vital that we embrace the Holy Spirit. For it is the Spirit of God that dwells within us, and it is He who draws us to the Father through the Son. We are His dwelling place. We need to embrace that. You know, you can only walk out what you believe. What you believe is going to determine how you live your life, how you think about things, and how you walk it out. You can act one way in public, but that's not reality a lot of times. How you are in private is what you really believe. So what do you believe when you're all alone, or when you're with your family, who you're most comfortable around? You know, what's going on then? Because that's how you're going to be. That's how you're, what you're really believing. There's, I saw on Facebook this week, a young girl posted, "You're only going to receive the love that you believe you're worth." The kind of love that you believe you're worth is all that you're going to receive. That's profound. I mean, that's why abused women will often go to another abusive relationship one after another, because that's all they believe they deserve. And they will attract that kind of person. Not consciously, but subconsciously. And your subconscious beliefs are powerful. You need to get in touch with those and flush them up. Find out what you're believing that doesn't line up with the word, who the word says you are, who God says you are. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. It goes on to say you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, with your bodies. Your body is sacred. I mean, if we really get that, that we are the temple, the very temple, the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, you're walking around and you carry the Holy Spirit within you. He's holy. And you're a holy sanctuary. It's holy ground. We should be going around barefoot all the time. You know, we bring a holy presence when you go wherever you are. You bring a holy presence because that's who you are. We need to embrace who we are. We need to know who we are, because then we'll act like it. When we're not acting like it, it's because we haven't embraced it. We have head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. We need to get our heart and our head knowledge together and embrace the fact that we host a holy God within us. He chooses. How humbling is that? I mean, it's humbling for us, but he humbles himself to do that. I can't imagine that. That just blows me away. Because of Christ, he sees us through the blood of Jesus. Literally sees us through the blood of Jesus. And it's pure, holy. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We need to walk in that. We need to be a righteous, holy people. And I'm not talking about being goody two-shoes. I'm talking about embracing a lifestyle that is a testimony of the holy God within you. You know, a lot of times I've had people ask me, I have a relative, I'll just put it that way, a relative that was asking me what you have to do to be a Christian. They've accepted the Lord, but they wanted to know if that was enough. If that, you know, how much do they have to act like a Christian and still be able to get into heaven? I said, well, you know, if you just want to get your hiney in, the pearly gates, I said, I suppose you'll make that. And she goes, well, we don't have to be like you, do we? I said, no, you sure don't. But man, I can't tell you, I wouldn't go back to where you're at. You know, I wouldn't go back to, I don't want to walk there, because I want all of God I can get. He's worth it. He's worth it. And he considered me worth it to give all that he had, so that I could have, I can get close to the throne. I don't have to just be standing at the gate, just inside the gate. And they got it. But I've heard that more than once. You know, how can I, you know, what can push it to the envelope, to the limit? How far can I go and still get in the gates? Because we want to do our own thing, don't we? We want to be in control, and we want to not give up. Have you ever watched The Lord of the Rings? If you've watched The Lord of the Rings, you know that there's several rings that were made that signified power. But there was the One Ring. And the One Ring was all-powerful. It had all... if you had that ring, you could rule the world. And it could be used for good or bad. But because of the hearts of people... all kinds of people. There are many different types of people in the Lord of the Rings, dwarves and elves, but because of their hearts being having the the tendency to have evil desires, the ring would corrupt the person that had it. So that just represented something in our life that is more important to us than the Lord. Like something that we want to keep in control of. And Crystal said this to me one day, that, you know, the Lord wants us to give up our rings. He wants the ring because that power belongs to him, that control. And in his hands, that ring is holy. It's used for good. And so think about what's in your life that is keeping you from keeping you in a place where I'll give God everything but this. You know, it could be maybe you're an artist. Just say you're an artist. And you really have a passion for the kind of art that you do. And God gave you that gift. And he wants you to use it. He wants you to enjoy it. But people have started prophesying over you that you're a prophetic artist. That God's going to use you as a prophetic artist. Well, that's a whole different venue that you're not even attracted to or wanting to go. And so there's this fight that starts to happen. And you start like, I want to do my art this my way. And the Lord's like starting to pull you, but I have more for you. But it doesn't look like more to us because it's different than what we envision. And then there's this thing that starts to happen. We need to surrender those kinds of things because we need to trust the Lord that he'll take that art and make it so much more than you ever imagined or hoped. So much more that you did on your own. And when you do it and you look back, you can see it. But the fight to get there, the flesh fights for control. So think about what your ring is, what you need to give up, what hinders, what are you wanting to hold on to and keep. God can have everything but this. I got off a little bit there. Number three, this is a hard, so the Holy Spirit, back to the Holy Spirit living within us. This is a hard concept to fully realize because most of the time we definitely do not feel like a sanctuary. We don't feel like it. We're angry or we're depressed or we're sad or we're frustrated or we're just plain blah. And we don't feel like a holy of holies. The Holy of Holies is the place in the temple of the Old Testament that the very presence of God dwelt. Only the high priest could enter. We are now this holy place. What a gift indeed. What an amazing God that he would humble himself and dwell in the heart of a man. That just, in 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 12. Yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and hidden things beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. This is the Holy Spirit searches, explores, examines, and sounding. This reminds me of what do ships use to bounce things? No, to bounce a signal. Sonar. It's like he sounds the depths of God like sonar. He gets down there and sounds out the depths of the heart of God. It's beyond the things hidden beyond man's scrutiny. There's the purpose for that. I mean, the Holy Spirit, he searches our heart and he searches Father's heart. And the purpose is to bring us into unity. He wants to know Father's heart for us, what God is saying about us, to us, for us, and through us. He's wanting to convey that to us so that we, and then he searches our hearts to flush up the things that aren't lining up and to flush up how we really believe about God, what we really believe about ourselves, the things that hinder. He wants to flush those up so that the Lord can heal and bring unity, bring oneness into reality and into, felt reality. It's a reality, but he wants to bring it into a felt, like a knowing. A knowing needs to happen that we are one. We need to feel that flow. We need to feel that when we speak, we know it's the Holy Spirit speaking through us. When we are blessing or praying over somebody, we need to know. We need to not do that in a place of striving, but we need to know that there's a resting that happens because you know that what you're speaking and saying is the Holy Spirit coming through you. When you're meditating, or all of that is like a constant flow between your spirit and God's spirit. Just a constant flow. And the deeper you get into it, the more, I know for a while I felt, I'm still working through this, but and I complain a lot because I used to be able to just hear and see on demand. I could hear the Lord speak to me and I could see a vision if I wanted to. Well, it's not that way now. And for the last couple of years, I've really struggled with it felt like in the beginning that he was pulling away. But really what I'm coming to realize and being more comfortable with is that oneness is happening. And so when I'm thinking and when I'm in tune and unity with him, what he's wanting to say comes out. And what I need to hear, I hear when I need to hear it. It's like he meets me where whatever place I'm in, or whoever I'm praying over, or whatever I'm thinking, or the scriptures that I read, or it throughout my life, moment by moment, he's supplying my every need. He's right there, and it's a different place. It's a deeper place, but it's learning how to navigate in that because it's so different than what I was experiencing before. But it's now it's more of a, I'm feeling that oneness. I'm feeling the unity, and I'm gaining in confidence in it and being able to walk in it, not always questioning. God, where are you? I'm not hearing you. I need the, and having that anxious feeling. Now it's like, no, I know that the scriptures that I need are going to be given. The comfort that I need is there. When I pray over somebody or minister to somebody, I know that he's going to give me what I need. It's him. It's not me. It's him. And it's learning to rely on that him dwelling within you. I need to embrace that. What that looks like is a unity that comes out of who I am. I'm one with God, right? You're one with God. And so instead of acting like two, like I'm here, and that's totally good, because I still hear that way too sometimes. But God works with us in many ways, and we don't ever want to put it has to be this way, and it has to look like this, because he's unique to each of us, and he's going to operate in and through of us, each of us uniquely. He loves our individuality. He's the one that created us, and so he loves that. And so be okay with it not looking like somebody else. You're all not going to look like me, thank you, Jesus. You know, he loves our individuality. And he'll work, he'll be in you and through you in the way that he's made you. And he loves that because that speaks to other people. That speaks to people that you're influencing. So no one knows the thoughts and discerns the heart of God except the Spirit of God. So his purpose is, that last sentence right there, that we might realize, so the Holy Spirit wants us to realize, comprehend, and appreciate the gifts so lavishly bestowed on us by God. So the Holy Spirit's always searching our hearts to try and get us to know, to realize, to comprehend. I mean, that's a lot. That's amazing. Number four, the Holy Spirit earnestly desires to draw us into the reality of the depths of Father's heart for us. Father wants us to come into a revelation of the benefits that his perfect love provides for us. He wants us to have the revelation of it, that his perfect, the benefits that his perfect love provides for us. The enemy wants to work hard. The enemy works hard to destroy and distort the reality of God's love and all the ways that his love is expressed. For his love is vast, and many, in the many ways that it manifests in our lives is in itself a sign and a wonder. The love of God, if we're resting in the love of God, we lack for no good thing. Our spirits, our souls will be satisfied. Even in my physical struggles, I feel like a well-loved child, and I feel blessed. And that defies even my, that's supernatural. We have a supernatural God, and he acts supernaturally, so he can bless you in ways that defy logic. That defies logic to me, that somebody can be struggling. I mean, all of you are struggling with something. I'm so not the only one. All of you have either physical, emotional, financial, relational, something. You have something that you're struggling with. The word says we will encounter trials of all kinds, and we all do. Nobody's immune to it. In your struggle, you should feel like a well-loved, blessed child and know it. I mean, you should feel that. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to know his love transcends any trial or struggle that you could have. It transcends it. It's above it. It is bigger than the trial. Romans 8:26 through 28. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. To intercede is to make intercession, to beg or plead on behalf of another, to mediate. The Holy Spirit is intentional about his intercession for us, and he knows we are weak and is our faithful helper. He is constantly before the Father on our behalf. We need to embrace him as a friend. The Holy Spirit is your friend. And he is interceding because he knows we're weak. He knows our frailties. He knows our struggles. He knows the battle for our mind. That's what the battle is all about, is our mind. What the enemy can get us to believe is how we will live out life and how we will relate to the Father, to God. So if the enemy can get you full of lies, then that's how you're gonna live your life. That's how you're going to operate, and that will impact others. And so he, you know, even if you're a Christian, he's going to want to deplete, or he's going to want to lessen your testimony. He doesn't want you to walk in a strong testimony of who God is to you. He wants it to be as less as he can get it. So he'd rather your testimony was, yes, I love God and I'm a Christian, but boy, and then go off on how God's failed you, or what, you know, all the complaints and all those things. That's what the enemy's after. So he doesn't want you to look like God. He doesn't want you to look like Jesus, because the word says we're being transformed into the very likeness of Christ. When you're in the very likeness of Christ, you're going to look like Jesus. The enemy doesn't want that. That's our identity that we're all after. We're all being transformed into the very likeness of Christ Jesus. That's a hard issue. And I keep being drawn to this. I just lost it. There's a scripture in Zephaniah, which I can never find. Zephaniah 1, verse 12. Says it, it will come about at that time in that I will search Jerusalem with lamps. Okay, so right there, God's searching. And there's many scriptures that talk like this, that God searches out. He looks for those whose lamps are lit. He looks for those who are burning for him, or who are engaging him. He looks for them. He searches them out. He's after the righteous. He's looking for them. I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit. Stagnant in spirit. Who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. It's like, that's that lukewarm place. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to have a stagnant spirit. Whatever it takes, get your spirit engaged with God. Light the fire. Ask him, you know, be willing to say, whatever it takes, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to light a fire under me. I don't want to have a stagnant spirit. I want to be lit up. I want to be a blazing, burning bush that draws your gaze, draws the gaze to glorify you. I want people to see you. We're the manifest expression of Jesus here on this earth. So we want to manifest his glory. We want to manifest his presence. And we need to be a burning bush in order to do that. Our spirits cannot be stagnant. It's taught in Revelation. He talks about it again in the Church of Laodicea, where they're neither hot nor cold. I will spew you out of my mouth. God wants something to burn in us. The very earth that we live on, everything testifies of the presence of God. Everything, nature, everything, our lives, everything testifies. Speaks, it screams of God. And so how, you know, to have a stagnant spirit in that is just like, God hates that, because we're complacent. We're not giving him honor and glory. We're not recognizing. He'd rather we were really angry at him or really in love with him. You know, he wants us to be hot or cold, preferably hot, you know. But that lukewarm, that stagnant place goes nowhere, does nothing. Have you ever seen a stagnant pool of water? It gets stinky even after a while. You know, there's no life in it. Nothing lives. So make sure you're you know, we're, you know, God, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be there. Light me up. Put a torch under me. I don't care what it takes. I wanna be a blazing inferno that just shouts of who you are. The Holy Spirit is constantly making intercession on your behalf. Constantly. He and Jesus is too. The word says that Christ is also. So you have two amazing holy intercessors that are before the Father on your behalf and drawing you to him. You need to embrace the Holy Spirit as your friend. Engage him. I lived most of my life, I think I said this last week, most of my life, it's only been since 2005 that I really started to get this. Holy Spirit's your friend. Embrace him. In John 16:13-15, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority. This Jesus was the same way. He said, I do not speak of my own authority. I only speak what the Father gives me. But he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take care of, receive, and draw on upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, and disclose and transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. That's a promise. He will do it. We just have to say yes. We have to, the Holy Spirit is, he is not pushy. He's gentle. He's like, will not invade your free will. So we need to, the more we say yes, the more we humble ourselves, the more we engage him, the more we spend time. This is time spent. Time spent in the presence of God. This is the only way relationship is possible. You may think that you have no time in a day, but this is vital for your spiritual life. This is vital for your well-being. Jesus paid for your well-being, but you need to spend time with the one that gives it. You're not going to have peace. You're not going to have joy. You're not going to have, unless you spend time engaging him, being the word, meditate, but don't make it a legalistic thing. When I sit before the Lord, it's like, I just, you know, I'll put on worship music and, or I'll just put, I have instrumental music that I'll listen to. But the music kind of sets the mode. And then I'm like, just start thinking how amazing he is. And it just, then whatever flows. I don't have a rule or a 1, 2, 3, 4 thing that I do. I'm like, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here? And I even engage him on how to enter into that place. I mean, he's the one that draws us, and he's the one that reveals God to us. So I sit and I engage him. I'm like, what do you want this time to look at? Because I'm all yours. I want to just focus on you. I come out of agreement with all distractions right now in Jesus' name. I just choose to set those thoughts aside, and I want to focus on you. What do you have for me here? And I just sit, and as things come up, I'll start praying, or I'll just start thanking, or I'll start singing, or I'll, you know, whatever starts coming up, or I'll start writing what I'm hearing or feeling. Now it's more of a feeling and a sense, and it never fails that he begins to draw me into a deeper place. Learn how, ask him, and so asking for those things that you lack, where you lack knowing how to get to that place, if you lack that, ask him to teach you. Say, admit it, I don't know how to, I don't know how to set aside time because my day is so busy. So sit down with him and say, when can I do this? When's the best time that I can do that? He's not always, you know, you have to, he's always there. So don't treat him like you have to fit him in at your convenience. Sometimes it's not convenient. You have to make time. It has to be a priority. How much do you want from God? Where do you want to walk? How deep do you want to go? There's sacrifices. It costs you. But it's the price is well worth it. You'll get back far more than what you put in. Truly. Sometimes I walk away thinking, I'm just amazed because I feel like what I give him is so small. But the amazing thing is that's all he wants. That's all he wants. All that you give him is like treasure to him. He just wants your love, wants your attention. He wants to be your friend. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to know his love. It's for you. He wants you to dwell in it, dwell in his presence. It's like a pool of living water. It truly is. It gives you life. It restores, redeems it. You know, anything that we have to give up or time spent or the sacrifice that we make is so small compared to what we get in return. So small. So if you even have trouble going there, just say, God, I need you to put that in me, the want to. I need the want to. And just, you know, even it's that simple. That's where I started. To be honest with you, I didn't have the want to, know how, or desire, or anything. So God, give me the desire. I need to do something. I want my life to change because I've lived at that time 54 years of stagnant spirit. There wasn't a lot of life in me. And just walking it out, you know, in the knowledge. And so, God, I see in your word what's available, but I have no clue. I don't even know how to go there. So I need you to teach me. I need you to put it in me, to even the want to. And wow, you know, you go there with him and he'll meet you. He'll meet you like, you just got it's a humbling of the heart that needs to happen. And God will meet you every time. He will not fail a humbling of the heart. He won't fail your, when your desire is him, he's not going to fail you there. It's what you were created for. So he'll so meet you. This is an amazing number six there. This is an amazing passage full of promises. The Holy Spirit loves to reveal God to us. He loves it. He loves it. The purpose and intentions of the Holy Spirit working in us sets us up to know the Lord. The intention of the Holy Spirit is to know Father, to know Jesus. He's constantly working to do that because he knows that there's where you find life. Life is worth the living because of who we love, because of the one who saved us. It's worth the living. He won't disappoint you. To have deep, lasting, and sustainable relationship with our amazing God that has a passionate love for us, that won't be satisfied until we are united with him in eternity. God, his passion, I mean, is, I can't begin to express it. You know, when the Lord starts sharing his feelings with you, we're not meant to, I mean, it's hard for us to contain them, but his passion for you is like a consuming fire. There was no price too much for him to pay. And he paid it with joy set before him because he saw the outcome. And Father, when he asked Jesus, when they agreed on this, I felt his anguish. When Jesus was on the cross, I felt the Father's pain. And I know I only felt a small portion because it would have, I mean, I know, it would have destroyed my physical body. But he's intense. His emotions are intense. His passion for you is intense. His love for you is consuming. And so when you say, the more you say yes to it, the more you give in to it, he'll draw you to a depth, deeper and deeper. I think I said this last week, but you'll always, throughout eternity, he'll be drawing us deeper into him. Because there is no limit. There is no limit to the depth of God. He doesn't bottom out. He'll always have more to give. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. 7, we have a bent to embrace the negative attributes of our sinful nature. We do. It's so easy for us to give in to the flesh, to negative thinking, to always be focused on the negative, to what we're suffering or what somebody else is suffering or what who's doing what, or you know, we get so distracted. And those things then start to determine what we believe. And those things will keep us from being at a place of rest. We let our circumstances and opinions of others convince us that we are fearful, less than, dumb, unworthy, etc. The enemy is smart, and he knows that if he can get us focused on lies about the Lord and ourselves, we will have a difficult time embracing truth. That's his intent, and he's relentless. He doesn't play fair. He's cunning and conniving, and he plays dirty. So we need to be wise to his ways. When you have negative thoughts that are starting to enter your mind, you need to get the mind renewal for it. And if you've gotten, you know, you need to stand and say, I don't agree with that. I command that thought to go in Jesus' name. It's simple but hard. Because some of the things that we believe feel so true. And we think, God cannot, I've heard this many times when I'm in a healing session with somebody and they'll say, this is too big. This is too painful. I don't see how God could heal this place. I can't even figure out how he's going to do it. Well, you don't have to. He's God. You're not, you know, and he has the answer. He's the one with the power to heal. He's the one with the power to restore. He's the one with the power to draw you to him in spite of yourself. In spite of us, he draws us. We just need to say yes. Have a willing spirit, a pliable, bendable, moldable spirit. In Isaiah 11, 2 through 3, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. This is talking about Jesus, and it's predicted about 700 years before his birth. But it's an amazing scripture about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Some people call it the seven spirits of God. Really, there's one, but he has attributes. And we want to embrace this. We want the Spirit to rest upon us. That's number one. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Jesus lived in such a way that the Holy Spirit rested upon him. Now, he dwells within us, but does he rest on us? He's like a dove. Doves are very skittish, seriously skittish birds. They don't rest peacefully on in a place that has a lot of activity or something. So when the Holy Spirit comes on Jesus like a dove, that's a really amazing picture of how he rested on him. We need to walk in our lives in such a way that the Holy Spirit wants to rest upon us, that we're not offending him, that we're not, that we invite him, that we encourage him, that we're pulling on him, that we're loving. You know, we need to nurture our relationship with the Holy Spirit because he's the one that draws us to the Lord and reveals the heart of God to us. So the first one is the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength. The Spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see or make a decision by what his ears hear. Just as a dove by nature is easily disturbed, the Holy Spirit is very sensitive to our true heart. He will not force himself on anyone, and he will only enter into relationship where invited and then engaged. We want to be like Jesus so much so that his Spirit is attracted to us and will actually rest upon us. Next week, I'd like to, I'm going to teach one more class. They've asked me to extend this just one class. So next week, I want to talk about these seven spirits. Or seven attributes of the Lord, and kind of get in a little deeper on how they, how we can partner with those, and in court, you know, have that developed in our life, and what they mean. So, God, I thank you for each person here, and Lord, I ask that you light a fire under all of us, God, and turn up the heat. We want to be a flame for you that burns brightly, not hidden under a bushel. Lord, I bless each person here with a relationship with you. I ask that you draw them and just continue. I thank you that you do continue to reveal your heart. Put a yes in our hearts, Jesus, a yes for more. And God, help us to get past the fear of relinquishing complete control. Just help us to let that go. I thank you that you are our helper, Holy Spirit. And we are blessed by you. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.